Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everyone, welcome to Perfect Stranglers. This is Kylie.
And I'm Bree.
And welcome to it. Before we get started on the episode, I have to ask you something, Brie. Last night, I saw all of the lacrosse people on the Facebooks were talking about a snow squall.
Yeah, snow squall.
Okay. Is that just like the snow equivalent of a torrential downpour? Real quick. Only it's like a really quick, fast blizzard.
Yes, but with wind.
Okay. Oh, yeah, so blizzard, because a blizzard is wind, right?
Yeah, wind and snow. Yes, that's what it's like. It's like a short little intense blizzard that comes upon you suddenly, like almost like a little tornado forming. But there's no tornado.
I have never heard of that ever. Have you?
No, I had to look it up.
Yeah, I saw everyone again on my. I have like two separate Facebooks. I have one Facebook, but there's two very different Facebooks. I have the lacrosse Facebook where people from back home post, and then I have Grand Rapids Facebook. And I can, without even looking, I can tell immediately what side of Facebook I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Immediately. It's really funny. It's interesting to see how different y'all act from each other. For living in the Midwest. Oh, it's fun. Also, yeah, I was just telling Brie my new favorite thing is on the iPhone. I don't know if it's Samsung, like Google phones or whatever have this. Focus mode so that people see, says Kylie has her notifications silenced. And so people can't talk to me. And if they do talk to me, they don't get salty if I don't reply. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Because you know how you get a little bit mad if you see like someone has seen it or you're like, God, why aren't they responding?
Yeah.
Well, now it just says, oh, well, her notifications are silenced.
Yeah.
It's very handy. It's very, very handy. Yeah. New favorite. What's up with you?
Nothing. Just trying to get through, you know, get through to the spring. Yeah. It's probably spring by the time this comes out. But
Yeah, this is going to come out on... Okay, this is going to come out on March 10th.
Okay.
So yeah, that's springtime.
Springtime.
Not officially, but like March is spring. March 1st is spring, just like September 1st is fall.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. March, April, May is spring. June, July, August is summer. September, October, November is fall. December, January, February is winter.
Correct. In my eyes.
And anyone who disagrees... Yeah, and anyone who disagrees with that, you're wrong. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I mean, for this hemisphere anyway.
Yeah, for this hemisphere, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like two degrees here, though. So.
Oh, I heard y'all are always so cold. So
but you know
colder.
What, though? Tomorrow, it's supposed to be 50 degrees here.
Are you guys going to have thunder snow? I feel like that would be a perfect... Okay, yep, I see. On Alaska, it's 2 degrees. We're at 11 degrees. So I always have Wisconsin, Grand Rapids, and then St. Louis, because that's where my company's based out of, on my weather, so I know what I'm getting into if I have to travel. God, y'all are cold.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have thunder snow? I feel like that big change in temperature is like a perfect invite for thunder snow.
Yeah, it's been talked about.
Oh, 51. That's y'all. That's window open weather.
Yeah. I already bought my spring candles, you know.
So did I.
Yeah.
Where did you get yours from?
Bath and Body Works.
When they had that big sale?
Buy two, get two free plus 20% off coupon.
Yes. Hell yeah. I did that. I got like nine candles for $100. I got so many. When they came, I was so excited.
Yeah. I don't really buy candles from anywhere else. I bought candles from Yankee Candle for a while, but then I got COVID and the smell isn't as strong. For sure, the smell isn't as strong as Bath & Body Works. And I feel like I can't smell them as much as I want to, as I want the fragrance to be, like, you know, like in the Yankee candles. And the Bath and Body Works ones are, like, really highly scented, and they're soy. So, like, the throw from the scent from them is a lot better, too. So I just go with Bath and Body Works now.
Yeah.
When I'm not melting the waxes, the melting things.
Yeah. Yeah. Yankee Candle to me is so overrated. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, the black soot that Yankee Candles have is so much worse
it than is.
Bath and Body Works.
For sure.
And, yeah, the scent is not nearly as strong at all.
Yeah.
And, like, within a minute or two of lighting a Bath and Body Works candle, I can already smell it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but that's, like, when candles, I mean, not like... Candles have always been a thing. Like, obviously, it was a source of light, like, back in the day. But, like, like when, like, home fragrance candles, like, started really coming out, like, that was, like, the shit back then was, like, the Yankee Candles because, you know, Bath and Body Works hadn't come out yet. So, it used to be a really big, awesome thing, but, like, it's been improved upon.
Yeah, I feel like Yankee Candle is one of those brands that was really, really popular in the late 90s, early 2000s. And when I think of that, I think of Tupperware parties and you know what I mean? Like that whole vibe. I don't know why I can like those two go together for me. But like I think of Tupperware parties and
those like
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Regis Philbin.
Oh my God.
I think of that whole era in life.
Wow. You took me back.
Do you remember the Weakest Link with the short redhead lady? And she goes, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah. She was a bit stern.
What a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a time to be alive. I say that kind of often in Everly whenever something like crazy happens or whenever something like cool happens. She goes, what a time to be alive. And also.
That is so cute coming from a 4-year-old.
She just says it so matter of factly, just. What a time to be alive. And also she started doing, if something exciting happens or she's proud of herself or like she does something new, like she built a Lego set all on her own. I heard her clap and she went, hell yeah.
Oh,
when she was done to celebrate herself.
Oh my God. That's awesome. I love her. Oh my God.
Oh my God. She's so cute. Like I have a swearing rule in my house. Where if it's in a song, you can say it, or if you stub your toe or you're proud of yourself or anything, you can swear because it's not fair for me to be able to get my, like, if I stub my toe and I go, oh, fuck, or oh, shit, or whatever, it's not fair for me to be able to say that to, like, release my stress and for her to not be able to say it because she's not being mean or anything.
Right.
Like, it's proven to be, like, a good way to stress relief.
Yeah. If you're not swearing at someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she can say that stuff as long as she's not making fun of anyone, belittling someone, or being mean to someone, or being mean to herself. She cannot say those words. Yeah. So she's proud of herself and goes, hell yeah.
That's awesome.
I love her so much. Should we get into housework?
Yeah. Okay. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts. It helps us get seen and it helps people find us, which is always a good thing. Also, don't forget to subscribe to us on whatever platform that you listen to us on so you never miss an episode. Also, you can do ratings on Spotify now, so we'd love for you to get some ratings in there. We'd appreciate is it like a 5-star type of thing on Spotify?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd appreciate 5 stars if you like us. Also, we want to hear from you on our social media. You can contact us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We want to hear your stories, your true stories, weird things that have happened to you, glitches in the Matrix, hauntings, strange happenings, anything like that. That you want to share with us, that we can share with the other listeners, that'd be awesome. So you can email us at contact@perfectstranglers.com. And while you're at it, please check out our website, which is perfectstranglers.com.
Love to see it. Are you ready to get into this?
Yep. Oh, also, if you see me talking to this side, that's where my microphone is. I'm not crazy.
Okay. I love your glasses today, by the way. They're like a teal, you guys. Yeah. They look really nice.
Thank you.
Are they new?
Yeah, they're from Zenni. I got these ones and I got some glow-in-the-dark frames as well.
You have glow-in-the-dark?
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
One more thing about my child, because I guess that's who we're talking about today. For anecdote-wise, I did not... My friend Emily got me nail polish for Christmas. I was laying in my bed one day after I put her down, but I could still hear her chatting. I had my lights off, and I was like, what is that? And I looked, and my fingers were glowing. I was like, oh my God, they're glow-in-the-dark. And I got... I know Everly's my kid, but sometimes I get excited and treat her like she's my friend. And I went into her room. I was like, Everly, come and look at this. And she was like, what? What? And I sat her on my bed and I was like, watch. So I shined the light on my fingernails and then I showed it to her and she went, oh my God. And she was like staring at my fingers and she was so impressed. So I straight up painted this girl's nails at like 8 o'clock at night with glow-in-the-dark nail polish. And she just like, I could hear her chit-chatting in her bedroom after it dried and whatever, just like looking at her nails.
Oh, cute.
Oh, it was so weird. I forgot about glow-in-the-dark things. Yeah. Like that used to be a huge thing, along with Yankee Candle. The stars that you stuck on the plastic stars. Oh my stars. God,
yes.
Yes.
Ah, and they came with that putty stuff, that like poster putty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ah. And then, like, if the stars would, like, fall off, it looked like you had, like, little, like, blue boogers, like, stuck on your ceiling.
Yes. I have a possible putty ghost story real quick.
Oh. Okay.
I think about this quite often. And anytime something goes missing, I think about this. So I was in my old house, the house I grew up with from the ages of, like, 7 to 17. My mom, I don't know where she was, but I know that my Aunt Cindy was watching me and my brother. I don't know if my mom was at work or I don't know what she was doing. Anyway, not the point. So I had a wooden bed frame and I had a ball of that blue putty. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you stick it on like a wooden bed frame or whatever, because it was a flat surface, it's going to stick. It's not going to roll anywhere because it's putty. It sticks. Mm-hmm. So I had a huge glob of it stuck there and I was just ripping pieces off of it and putting those stars up. And I think I was putting up a Nelly poster as well because I loved Nelly. And anyway, so I had it stuck on the bed. And I went to the bathroom and I came back and the putty was gone, just gone. And I asked my Aunt Cindy where it went, if she went in there, if she was like doing something with it. My brother was like in his bedroom playing Nintendo or something. He didn't do anything with it. And so me and my aunt searched my bedroom up and down for this putty and we never found it.
What?
We never found this putty. I have no idea to this day where it went, but it's putty. It was stuck to the bed frame and I was taking globs off of it. And so every time I would grab a glob, I would stick it back down. And I remember holding the glob with one hand and pulling with the other hand to make sure it stuck.
Oh man, I am like so puzzled right now. What the heck?
And when I came back, this thing was gone. And my brother was in his bedroom. My Aunt Cindy, why would she come in and like take my putty? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It just dematerialized.
We never found that putty.
What the fuck? That's weird.
Yeah.
So like.
I know, it's really weird.
Like you just never, like you would have remembered, like if you were like packing your stuff up to like move out of the house or whatever, and you moved something and you found the putty, you would have been like, oh my God, that's that freaking putty.
Absolutely. I would have been like, that's the putty that I have been missing for so long.
Oh my God.
That's, and when so this weird. Happened, I had to have been like 10. I had to have been like 10 to 12, like that age range. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I was like a small child misplacing shit.
Was it by a vent? You know what I mean? Did it like fall down a vent or something?
Like, no, it was right. My bed was like right on, like flat on a wall.
Uh-huh.
And then that was like sticking out in the middle of my room. So there was no vents anywhere. I never, ever found that putty ever.
That's weird.
And you think if putty goes missing, if you find it, it's going to be stuck to stuff and you're definitely going to remember because you have to clean that shit up.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's weird. I think of that often. Mm-hmm.
What if you just turn around and there was putty on your coffee table right now.
I would freak the fuck. Now I'm like a little freaked out. It takes a lot to freak me out when it comes to like that stuff. I would freak the fuck out. Okay. God.
Okay, what are we talking about today?
Okay, so this is a fan request. This is from Kelly. She's actually written to us. She is a childhood, Kelly's mom and my mom were childhood best friends, and they're still friends to this day. They go on like lunches and stuff for their birthdays. Super cute. So Kelly is her daughter. I've known her since I was a child. And she messaged us and she said, you need to do this you have to do this like Wisconsin case. He's going to trial. His name is Chandler Holdersen. And I was like, bet, let's look this up. Turns out he's fucked up. So we're going to talk about Chandler Holdersen today. Okay. And his trial for when, by the time this comes out, his trial for sentencing is going to be happening like either has happened or will be happening in like a week after this releases.
Ooh.
So he hasn't even been sentenced yet.
Okay.
Okay. So WKOW 27 in Madison had like a really comprehensive timeline of this case. So major shout out to them. I use them a lot along with a lot of news and courtroom footage to figure out really what happened. Because you can watch the entire case.
Okay.
Which is really cool. All right, so on July 7th, 2021, the following missing persons announcement was made on WKOW News 27. It said, the Dane County Sheriff's Office is looking for a missing couple from the village of Windsor. A family member reported Bart and Krista Holdersen missing on Wednesday. They were last seen on Thursday, July 1st, at their home. The couple was planning to take a trip to Langlade County this weekend, and the family has been unable to reach them. Authorities do not have a vehicle description. Bart is 50 years old, and Krista is 53 years old. So that came out on July 7th. Rewind a bit to July 1st, and we're going to get into the timeline. So on July 1st, 2021, Chandler Holdersen told police and neighbors that he last saw his parents after he helped them pack for an emergency trip up to their cabin in Langlade County to finish up some repairs at their property after a summer storm. So according to the criminal complaint, Krista's coworker told police that she was supposed to work, but she just didn't show up on July 2nd. And if we know anything about these middle-aged white women in the Midwest, they show up for their jobs routinely, and if they don't show up, it's weird.
Yes.
Like, if a middle-aged white woman isn't showing up for her job and she didn't tell you previously, she's probably murdered. Just saying.
Yeah.
Or something medically wrong is very, very wrong happening.
Yeah.
So, as we see in all of these cases, that was uncharacteristic of Krista, and it was not on the schedule for her to be gone that day. So Chandler's excuse for the July 2nd absence from her work was that he said that his parents were picked up by friends that he didn't know, and these friends that he didn't know took them to the cabin, and she must have forgotten to tell work that she was gone.
Sure.
He said that they already left by the time he woke up, and he said he woke up at 6:15 a.m., so he's saying they left for the cabin before 6:15 a.m.
Okay.
Which is, like, really early. So on July 3rd, the criminal complaint says that a woman saw a man matching Chandler's description in the area of DNR property in Columbia County near Sauk City. So the person that she saw was reportedly wearing a backpack and walking away from the Wisconsin River. So the witness said that she thought that his behavior was a little bit odd because he was walking away from his vehicle towards the highway. Then when he got up to the highway, he just turned around and went back to his vehicle. So it's almost like he was going to cross the highway, or he was like checking out the situation and then going back into his car.
Yeah, that is
weird. So a couple days later, so that was on July 3rd, a couple days later on July 5th, Chandler went to Cottage Grove to visit his girlfriend and her family. So he showed up to their house at about 5:30 p.m. in a Subaru, and that Subaru belonged to his parents. So Chandler's reason for being at his girlfriend's house was he wanted to use the pool, and he had permission to do so whenever, according to the girlfriend's mom. So they must have been dating for quite some time, and they like knew each other well enough for him to have like free reign of the pool, basically.
Yeah.
So Chandler was out of sight for about an hour to an hour and a half, and at that parent's girlfriend's, at his girlfriend's property. He was out of sight for about 60 to 90 minutes, and when he was back on site on the property, his girlfriend's mom said that she saw the Subaru with its hatchback open by the shed on the south end of the property, and then later she saw Chandler further south of the shed near, like, the line of the woods. She also said that when he did return, it was weird because he wasn't wet from the pool. Like, he said he was going to go into the pool, but he wasn't wet and the cover wasn't taken off of the pool. So a couple days later, on July 7th, this is when Chandler officially reported that his parents were missing, and that this is when that police report came out, that the missing persons report. So okay. His parents went missing on July 1st. That's when he saw them leave, didn't come back. July 7th, 5 days later is, or sorry, 6 days later is when the official report of them being missing happened. So at the time of the report, he said, like we said, they were last seen at their home on July 1st, planning to go up to Langlade County to fix the cabin. According to the criminal complaint, the police interviewed Chandler at the family's home on that day that he reported them missing, July 7th, and the detective noticed that sections of the floor looked like they were missing, along with an outline of a half wall next to the door that was no longer there. And I had to look up what a half wall is. Have you ever gone up someone's steps and they have like a literal half of a wall at the top of the steps to make sure no one falls over?
Right.
That's what a half wall is.
Okay.
I didn't know that it was literally called that. But yeah. I'm sorry, guys, if you can hear my neighbor's dog barking, but he's a little ankle biter and he's fucking annoying.
He sounds like that. a little guy.
he's a little guy, yeah. Anyway, so during this visit, Chandler told the police that he thinks that his parents were picked up on July 2nd to go up to their cabin in White Lake, but he didn't know who. So, like we said, he said his parents were gone before he woke up, and that he actually last heard from them on July 4th when his mom texted him, and that was allegedly the only communication that he had with his parents over the course of their trip to go up and fix that cabin. Chandler said that he thought his parents were missing because they had not yet returned home, and all of their calls had gone to voicemail.
Okay.
So he's like, okay, they're taking a little bit too long to be gone. I didn't see them leave. I don't know who they went with. It's been 6 days. I've only received like a text from them or whatever. They're probably missing. I'm going to go ahead and report them missing.
I got a question.
On July?
How far away is Langlade County from the Madison area? Like, could he have just like driven up there and be like, what's going on up here? Like, if.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
so Langlade County, so Madison is the lower third of Wisconsin. Uh-huh. Langlade County starts the upper third of Wisconsin. So I would say it is about probably an hour and a half, 2 hour drive.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see if my.
Maybe more.
3 hour drive.
3 hour. Okay, yeah.
It's about a 3 hour drive.
So if he was really worried.
Madison area.
If he was really worried, he could have just drove up there. Or.
He really could have.
I mean, I have a feeling he knows what happened to them at this point, but just to do like due diligence, he could have just driven up there and been like, there's nobody at the cabin, blah, 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 you know, but go on.
Oh, absolutely. So he was at, so Sauk City.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm Google Maxing. So Sauk City is where he was seen at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So Sauk City to Langlade County is 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Okay.
So he definitely could have drove, and he didn't. Uh-huh. So you're right. So July 8th, the day after the reporting of them officially being missing, there was a shift in the investigation, and this created a snowball effect of new developments. First, Chandler spoke to a lot of news outlets about his parents' disappearance. He told News 27 similar information, what he told police. His parents went up there and never returned. Meanwhile, behind the scenes of all this happening, the police are investigating, and it took a turn when a, quote, mutilated and dismembered chunk of human remains were found at the property of Chandler's girlfriend's family's house in Cottage Grove.
Ah, man.
you know. So this is a gross one, by the way, which you should expect from me by now. So that night, it is what it is. That's true crime, y'all, you know. So that night, after another interview with police, Chandler was taken officially into custody for providing false information on a missing persons case. Police at the time called the disappearance of Bart and Krista, quote, suspicious. So now they're amending the criminal complaint filed in August. So it's August now. And this is alleging that the morning of his arrest, Halderson was searching for information on his parents' death. According to a complaint on the morning of July 8th, Chandler made 6 Google searches back-to-back that referenced body found or Bart or Krista. So a month after the official, like, missing persons and he was arrested, they were able to go in, look at his Google stuff, look at his computer, all of that, and they found those searches.
So he's, like, trying to figure out how much they know already.
Yes. Yep. He was trying to figure that out. And I think a little bit was an ego trip to see if his name was out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, killers are. Over the next couple days, police announced they had discovered human remains, calling them unidentifiable. And the Dane County Sheriff's Department, or Sheriff's Office, confirmed that the search warrant was executed at Barton Krista Halderson's home on July 11th. And investigators spent most of July processing that information, and that's when that change in the criminal complaint was made in August with the Google searches. So, backtracking on July, sorry, I'm bouncing all over, but it all comes together. That's why I have dates in here. So, on July 12th, the remains that were found were officially identified as belonging to Bart Halderson, with a date of death anywhere between July 1st and July 8th. His cause of death was listed as homicidal violence, including a firearm injury. Mm. So, although Chandler was placed at the scene where the remains were found, he was still only in custody for providing false information. And because that was his only charge and the only thing they could really, like, pin on him, his bail was only set at $10,000.
Okay.
So later that evening, Chandler's charges would change. So 3 new recommended charges were added: first-degree intentional homicide, hiding a corpse, and mutilating a corpse. So that happened on July 12th. On July 14th, following up on the trip reported on July 10th, law enforcement ended up searching that DNR property in Columbia County where that woman saw him walking to the road. And that search led to the discovery of more human remains, but those human remains were not immediately identified. The next day, Chandler was formally charged. So on July 15th, Chandler was formally charged in the death of his father. His bond was now set at $1 million. And he officially faced the following charges: first-degree intentional homicide, hiding a corpse, mutilating a corpse, and providing false information on a missing persons case. And then he also had more charges expected to follow, because since Bart was found, there's no doubt that Krista likely would eventually be found. But the police were still optimistic. So Krista at this point was still considered to be a missing person. But the police said on the news, on a news conference, that they were still optimistic that Krista was alive and well. And that kind of shocked me.
Yeah.
Like, that, to me, that's like a little bit of, that's a lot of bit of false hope to their family.
Yeah.
If you see someone in a power position saying that you have hope that this other person in this couple is alive and well when one of them was found dismembered.
Yeah.
Like,
especially when you feel so hopeless, like helpless, like.
Right.
Man.
Like, I understand that you can't say, yeah, she's probably dead, but to say that you are optimistic that she is alive, and it's the and well.
Yeah.
Part of it for me. That is really not okay. So after a chunk of time with no updates, Dane County Sheriff's Office came out with an announcement on July 20th, and they had a whole new chunk of locations that they wanted to search for this investigation. So Dane County Sheriff's Office came in with canines and the Madison Police Department. They all began searching a waste management landfill outside Johnson Creek in the, like, Dane County, Sauk City, Madison area. And keep in mind, at this time, officials were still trying to identify remains found in the town of Roxbury near that highway area that he was walking around. So the Dane County Medical Examiner did complete the autopsy on that body, but
they were not able to identify the remains, and those remains, the identity of those remains would be released a lot later. So it must have been pretty mutilated for them to not know who it was. Mm-hmm. And that makes me think that it wasn't teeth and it wasn't hair that they found.
Yeah.
So probably not a head.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
On that body.
Yeah.
So.
Plus decomposing in the July heat.
Yep. Yep. In the Midwest where it's humid as fuck.
Yeah. Gross.
Yep. So a couple days after they were searching the landfill, another location was again added to this. This time it was the pond between the Halderson's house, a pond behind the Halderson's house. And so they began to drain it. They drained it from 12 feet down to 5 feet, and then they brought in a cadaver dog. The cadaver dog did get a hit in the area. So now we have 5 locations being searched for, I'm assuming the remainder of Bart's body, but more importantly, Krista's body. We have Cottage Grove, the DNR property in Columbia County, the Johnson Creek landfill, the Halderson's house itself, and the pond behind the Halderson's house. On July 27th, not announced until 3 days later, but more human remains were found in connection to the case. This time, the discovery happened at the Halderson family property, and they turned out to be human bone fragments in the fireplace.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
In the fireplace inside of the house, not a fire pit outside?
No, inside. A fireplace in the house.
Holy shit.
Inside the house.
Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. My God.
Which makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Because one, are you trying to cook them? And two, are you trying to cremate them? You're not going to get the fire hot enough to cremate them.
No.
Like, that's not no. At
also,
all.
Also, on, like,
not
what even gonna... part of the body is that? Was there fat on it? How much soot is that going to create? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just think of weird things like that.
No, that's a really good thought. Speaking of candles, how much soot is that going to create with the fat?
No, for real.
And also, my thought with that is, it's a fireplace. There's a chimney. Whenever someone has a fireplace, you can tell immediately from a good radius, like away, if someone has a wood fireplace and they're burning it. You can tell. You know that smell.
Yeah.
So, could neighbors not smell something a little weird?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that smell's going to go out your chimney.
Yeah. I mean, I guess unless he was just burning small parts at a time. I don't know. But wait, it was July. Yeah. You're having a fire in the fireplace in July?
In July.
July. Okay.
And no one thought this was weird. No one said anything. No one apparently smelled anything. And granted, this is a more rural area, but still, like, you know, if you're out in the country and you're driving, you don't see a house, but you can still smell a fireplace, a wood fireplace, because that smell carries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Huh. And it does smell a little different than, like, burning leaves. Not like you'd have leaves to be burning in July anyways.
Right.
I don't know. Weird. Yeah.
I know. Very weird. So, yeah, on July 28th, Chris Halderson had his first appearance in court. He waived his preliminary hearing. And police at this point ended their search at the landfill. The search at the Halderson home turned up Bart and Chris's phones and ID. And they again amended the criminal complaint and said the phones were found in a shoe beneath a shelving unit in the garage wrapped in tinfoil and paper towel. So in my mind, you're wrapping it in tinfoil so no one can ping them. You can't ping the phones.
Okay. Is that
That's
real?
That's my mind. And I'm like, is this... No, I don't think it's real.
Just turn... Wait, you can't ping the phone if it's off, right? Or can you?
I don't know. Probably, maybe. I don't know. But smash them.
Right.
Smash them. Don't wrap them in tin foil and paper towel.
Tin foil and paper towel?
He was probably that kid who, not as a joke to play, for fun, he probably put tinfoil on over his head so that no one could get his brain chip and read his mind, so that the government couldn't, know what he was doing.
I mean, you know? I remember, you know, when you would travel back in the 90s or whatever, you would get a lead bag, like, looks like it's about the size of like a cash bag, like if you ever worked in retail, but it's a lead bag, and then you put your film in there so that when it goes through the x-ray machine through TSA that it doesn't ruin it. Something like that maybe might have worked, but I don't think tinfoil.
No, I don't think tinfoil would have worked either. Nope.
Weird.
So police record, they got the phone, and the police records show that the last text that was sent from Chris's phone put her location in Dane County, not Langley County, and Chris's phone used the same cell phone tower as Chandler Halderson's cell phone tower. So they're definitely all in the same area.
Right.
A couple weeks later, those remains that were found in Roxbury that they were taking forever to identify, it was officially announced that those remains did belong to Krista Halderson. Mm-hmm. So now with this new evidence coming out, the sheriff's office began working with the DA and adding another set of first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse, hiding a corpse charges against Chandler Halderson to mirror the charges from his dad. So the search at the landfill was over. No announcements were made that the search of the landfill was over, and no announcements were made if anything was found there. So right now we have the area by Roxbury and the Haldersons' home where most of the evidence were found. So on September 1st, Chandler appeared in court for his arraignment on the charges related to his mom's death. He pled not guilty to all charges, including the ones from his dad, and the trial was set to begin in January of 2022. So the trial just happened, like last month that we're recording. So on November 16th, Judge John Hyland rules to allow outside acts in a trial, and I was like, outside acts? Nico, stop it, you jackass. Sorry, he's scratching my wall. So I was like, what are outside acts? And the acts are things that would happen outside of the trial, not direct evidence, but things that happen outside of the trial that would lead to the crime happening. So those acts being included allegedly are false communications regarding employment, allegedly false communications regarding prospective employment, false communications regarding the extent of an injury and where the injury was, and alleged false communications regarding his educational like wants or needs or grades, that type of thing. So now we have kind of a motive. So it's believed that Chandler had been lying to his mom and dad about employment, about education, where he was going to college, if he was going to college, all of these big things he kept on lying to his parents about, and which built pressure on him, and they were likely not happy with him, and this would have been his motive to kill them. So these four acts were sealed, but all of them involved communication with Krista and Bart, and they take place within a time frame leading up to the alleged dates of the crimes, and so that's why they were allowed.
Okay.
Yeah, again, it's motive, and it's just like pressure building up on him to get a job, go to school, and all that stuff. So on July 3rd, 2022, a jury of...
Sorry, do you know who this reminds me of? Joel Guy Jr.
Yes, yep, it does. Holy shit, yeah, it does. Oh my God, and they happened around the same time too, didn't they? When was Joel Guy Jr.? Was it 2018?
It was recently. I can't remember. It was in the past few years, I want to say. But yeah, he dismembered his parents too, and it was like...
Yeah.
But that was more about...
His was like, 2006.
Yeah, money and jobs and stuff, yeah.
Yep, his was 2016. How could I forget that face?
Yeah.
Yeah, damn. So January 3rd, 2022, a jury of 18 people were selected, 12 jurors, 6 alternates. The trial was going to start January 4th, the next day. The trial lasted 8 days. There are testimony from witnesses, law enforcement officers, forensic experts, all of the people. So the prosecutors argued that Halderson killed his family after they exposed a web of lies about his college enrollment and job prospects. Mm-hmm. So that was their basis of motive, like I said. Mm. So throughout the entire trial, prosecutors shared hundreds of pieces of physical and digital evidence against Chandler, phone records that placed him in the same area, the cell phone pings, DNA indicating his shoes were stained with both Bart and Chris's blood, the analysis of 230 bone fragments in and around the family's fireplace. It says many were identified as human bones, so I'm like, some were animal?
Yeah. The heck?
I don't know. He's weird enough to let that happen, I guess. I don't know. So the last day of testimony began, and then there was a week-long break, and we'll get into that. So the evidence that was brought forth, there was thousands of images taken from a neighbor's surveillance camera, which to me, again, further pushes that you would have smelled something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If the surveillance camera is used to see him, he's within distance. You would have smelled something.
Okay. They live in a rural area or like a neighborhood?
I would say it is a neighborhood that is on the edge of being rural. So it says that a flickering light could be seen on July 2nd from a window in the family room, and the surveillance camera identified that. So they were the neighbors like next door.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, people in the country, like the country have mm-hmm. like burn barrels that sometimes they burn yep. garbage and things like that. But this doesn't, yep. if their houses are that close, it doesn't seem like that type of
You would not have a burn.
Right.
No. You would not have a burn barrel. Yeah. So the security camera literally could see, which is like kind of creepy to me that your camera can see into the house. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, let's talk about that for a second. You fucking weird neighbor. What are you doing? Who are you looking at? Why can you see into their living room? At least it wasn't a bedroom. Investigators said that early in the trial, they found the human bone, which we now know that was the reason for the flickering light, because he was trying to incinerate the body or cook it.
Ew.
Or cook it. Yep. Dane County Sheriff's Office Deputy Scott Kuntz said on the video there was a flickering light that he believed was coming from the Halderson residence in the early morning hours of July 2nd, 2021. And I said, what do you believe that light to be? And he said, I think it's a fire in that family room at the house. So that was the first time in the trial that the state has started to establish the actual timeline from before Bart and Krista went missing, because they didn't really have a timeline of what exactly happened prior to July 7th that led up to their murders. So it's likely that at least one of them was killed prior to July 2nd. So probably July 1st, the day that they went missing, mm-hmm. the actual day they went missing. So an arson expert from Wisconsin Department of Justice also testified in the trial, focusing on the bone fragments found in the fireplace. One of the people, Special Agent William Boswell, determined that the fragment was human, also determined later that it did in fact belong to Krista Halverson. After an extensive search, investigators found that there was an ash pit in the home's basement as well. So they don't know if he set a fire there or he tried to get rid of the evidence by taking all of that ash and putting it in the basement. Mm-hmm. So a DNA expert took the stand later and they confirmed that Bart and Krista's blood was found on saws, scissors, a tarp, and pruning shears found at the Cottage Grove property where Bart Halderson's remains were located. And it's assumed that those things were used to dismember the bodies. And when Bart was found, what they found of him was just his torso. And Krista's legs were also found later in the investigation.
Oh, my God.
As a reminder, this happened in Wisconsin in 2021.
Yeah.
Like, y'all, this happened around you. This was happening around you.
I don't like it.
I just have to say that. I don't like it either. So we talked about that 1 week long break that they had, and
This was in the second week of trial. And Halderson himself, Chandler Halderson, tested positive for COVID. So this made the case be on hold for a week until he could return to the courtroom. So the jury at this time was just told that someone in the case, whether it be a law enforcement officer, the DA, the judge, they didn't know. Someone tested positive. And it was kept from them that it was Chandler because they didn't want that to like sway the jury at all. Not that it would, but they just wanted to make sure that they didn't know it was Chandler just in case, which I understand. The defense had every reason to say that this was a mistrial, and they didn't. One of the prosecutors came forward and said, if I was the defense, I would have declared this a mistrial, would have gotten an entirely new jury, because a week goes by and you can forget a lot of stuff.
That's true. That's very true.
So, and a week goes by, you have a lot of time to think. You have a lot of time to kind of go over what you're thinking. And they're not supposed to look up stuff.
Right.
They're not supposed to talk to it with family. But, like, nowadays, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how can you really monitor that? So, they had every right to say it was a mistrial. And they didn't.
So, he has shitty lawyers. And I don't really
understand.
Probably. Yeah. Does he have just, like, public defender or something? I mean, no offense to public defenders. I couldn't find that information. There's some pretty good public defenders, but
but some of them are not. Yeah, I couldn't really find that information right off the bat of who exactly was his lawyer and how he got the lawyer. But I mean, unless his lawyer's like, "Yo, this is a lost cause."
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, the fact that they didn't have a file for having a mistrial kind of surprised me a little bit. Because a week of time is a big chunk of time.
Yeah, that's a pretty legitimate
reason.
Reason, for, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So the proceedings for the trial were back on January 18th. The prosecution and defense both rested their cases on that Thursday. And the defense did not call a single witness to the stand. They didn't question any of the witnesses like the prosecutors did. So... sorry, there's someone dragging something. Hope it's not a body out in my hallway. I got new neighbors, and I think they're still in the process of moving in.
Oh.
But, so, closing arguments followed, and the jury was dismissed for deliberation shortly after that afternoon on Thursday. They deliberated for 2 hours, came back. It was unanimous. They found him guilty on all charges. So his official charges were... two counts of first-degree intentional homicide, two counts of mutilating a corpse, two counts of hiding a corpse, two counts of providing false information on a missing person's investigation. And Halderson had no guilty pleas entered for all counts on his behalf. So when he was announced that he was guilty, he was silent and he was emotionless. And we've said it once, we'll say it again. When someone is announced as guilty... and they don't say anything, they don't look sad, they show no emotion, that cannot be used against them whatsoever, because they are told and they are taught and they are coached by their legal team to not show any emotion, whether it be positive or negative, because doing so can kind of sway the jury when it comes to sentencing. So... wow. I just, anytime they're like, yeah, he was emotionless and he didn't cry, he didn't look surprised, he didn't show any emotion, I'm like, you really can't hold that against him, because that's literally what they're told to do.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to say or do anything. So, yeah, he's going to be sentenced on March 17th, faces up to life in prison for all charges listed. Wisconsin does not have the death penalty. So that is Chandler Halderson.
He looks like a douche. I will say that.
He absolutely does. He looks like a major douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it turns out he is one. So.
Yeah.
And that's putting it lightly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I feel like we think of like dismembering and mutilating a corpse as something that would happen in the 70s or back in medieval times.
Right. Barbaric.
But no, it's a very modern... It's very barbaric, and it's very, very personal.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That is the most personal form of murder you could probably do. aside from strangling. Like, he shot his dad. Shooting someone is impersonal. Dismembering is personal.
Very. Because it takes probably hours.
Hours and a lot of muscle and just a lot of no emotion to do so.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be void of emotion.
Yeah. And maybe, like, a little bit of, like, physical strength, too. Which, this guy mm-hmm. looks like he's kind of skinny. Like, he looks... I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. I hate it, though.
Yeah. It's disgusting. And happened 2 hours away from you. 2-3 hours away from you, Bri.
So. Yeah.
Hate it.
I don't know. I just can't fathom... Like, I can't fathom that, like, amount of... I don't know. I don't get it. I just can't... I don't get it with, like, the, patricide is what they call it. And, okay, in the Menendez brothers, I kind of get it.
I get it.
But, like, in these cases where it's, like, parents, like, Joel Guy Jr.'s parents, and these parents seem to be, like, they're just trying to, like, make sure their kid's on the right track, you know? Like... They're not being, like, abusive or anything. Like, or, I mean, we don't know that. But, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's not, like, severe, like, documented, like, the Menendez brothers and, like, I don't know.
Right. But you think that if he was being abused, he would have said that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would have came up.
Yeah. That's true. In the defense. Yeah. No, that's true.
And he didn't.
Yeah.
So... If you guys have any other recommendations for cases, drop us a line, shoot us a DM, put it in a comment in one of our social media posts, or, you know, email us. Let us know what you got. And if there's enough information on it, we will go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah. Love to.
Yeah. Other than that, happy fucking spring, and we will talk to you next Thursday.
Yep. Bye, everyone.